Well, good morning, everyone. That video already played. It's time for me to talk, okay? It's my turn. It's my turn to talk. You guys can all talk more afterward, okay? My turn. No. Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome. I'm usually not that unfriendly, but we've got a shortened service, and I've got things I want to say, all right? My name's Ryan. I'm one of the pastors here at Arbor. Welcome. Our aptly named series that we're going through right now is called Make It Make Sense, making sense of chaos in a noisy world. This is noisy right now, which is great. It's so good. It really is so good to see all of you. And we're just going to jump right in. Today, we are going to talk about something that seems small and seems kind of ordinary, but is actually like dangerously powerful. Today, we're going to talk about words. Words. Now, many of us, when we were kids on the playground, we were probably made familiar with this childhood rhyme. Sticks and stones may break my bones, but... Oh, you guys are so good. You're so smart. It's so awesome. That is so great. Kind of cute, but also completely untrue. Because from personal experience, many of us have come to realize that broken bones can actually heal way faster than some of the things people say, right? Like some of us are still carrying words from our childhood. Comments that maybe weren't meant to destroy us, but they lodged themselves deep inside of us. A sentence here, a label there, and boom, we have this voice inside of us that we just can't shake. And so today we're going to see what Proverbs has to say about words. What kind of power do words actually have? What do we do with the way we've been shaped by words? And most importantly for today, how do we use our words wisely? How do we use them wisely? In our current culture today, the world that we live in right now, on the one hand, I think we downplay words. I think we downplay words, whether it's that childhood rhyme that we all know, or when we get into some kind of conflict, we just say, you know what, I didn't really mean that, or those were just words. But on the other hand, we weaponize words all the time. Entire careers or lives are built and destroyed simply on what someone says or what someone posts. Our current media and social media environments essentially run on hot takes that are composed of words. And so with all that being said, what does Proverbs, what does this ancient book of Holy Spirit-inspired wisdom say about words? Well, it says a lot about words. For instance, Proverbs 18:21 says this, that death and life are in the power of the tongue. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And so according to God's word, words aren't meaningless. And Proverbs says here they contain the power of death and life. And so speech, our words, is not merely sound. The scripture sees our words as having the power to be these building blocks for an incredible reality, or they have the potential to burn everything to the ground. Words can be the source of the good and the beautiful, or they can poison life. Last week, remember, we asked that question, what voices are we listening to? What voices are you listening to? And that actually bridges perfectly to our question this week. This week we're asking, what words are we using and how are we using them? Well, what words am I using? And how am I using them in my everyday life? Because hear this, the voices we listen to shape the words that we use. The voices we listen to shape the words we use. The voices we let in, whether it's through podcasts, posts, our parents, our peers, whatever, they seep into us and they form our inner monologue, and eventually they come out. And they come out in a variety of ways. They come out in the tone that we use with other people, in how we label and categorize other people. They come out in how we narrate our own lives. As Jesus said, as he put it, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so today what I want us to do quickly is we're going to zoom in on what might seem, and after this introduction, might not seem like such a minor aspect of our lives. This is actually one of the most spiritually charged areas of our lives, and that is our words. And truthfully, listen, we could spend an entire series on this, and at some point in the future, we just might. But today, because we have our family meeting at the end, we've only got about another 15 minutes, okay? So how we're going to do this is I'm going to rush through a handful of different proverbs, and I'm just going to rapid fire through them. I hope it's clear. I hope it's helpful. And then at the end, from those proverbs, just draw some insights for how we as a people and individually might use our words more wisely. Does that sound good? Yeah, okay, great. Awesome, let's go. We're going to hop back into Proverbs 18. We literally just read this one, but it's worth hearing again. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Just some quick comments on this verse. God's word here is saying something that more than just metaphorical. This is actually how I would put it. This is ontological. This is about being. And what I mean by that is that Proverbs doesn't merely say that our words are either helpful or hurtful. It says that our words actually have the power to create or destroy. Really interesting thing about this verse is that in the Hebrew word for power is this word yad. And yad literally translates to hand. And so literally this verse reads like this: death and life are in the hand of the tongue. It is super interesting. And so what Proverbs is kind of communicating here is the tongue doesn't just make noise, it actually steers things. It's not incidental, it's directional, which means the way that we speak is not just background noise. It's not merely expressive, it is active. Like a hand, our words can grasp things, grip things. They can take hold of people. They can shape moments. They carry weight. Every single word we speak is either creating something or destroying something. There is no neutral with our words. Creating something or destroying something in our marriages, in our friendships, with our kids, with our coworkers, you name it. Proverbs 12:18 expands on this death and life idea a little bit. Check this out. There is one who speaks rashly like the thrusts of a sword, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. And so here we have the same instrument, the tongue, the creator of words, but we have two wildly different outcomes. A rash, thoughtless word stabs, it harms, it kills, but a wise word, it stitches, it brings together, it builds, it heals. Let's look at a few more. I told you we're going to be moving fast. Proverbs 15:1. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. Proverbs 15:4. Speech that heals is like a tree of life, like a tree of life. If that makes you think about those first couple chapters of Genesis in the Garden of Eden and the tree of life, then you are on the right track, because the writer of Proverbs here is trying to hearken back to that moment. And what the writer of Proverbs is saying is that a good word, a wise word, is a healing word, and it's like the tree of life. Our words, wisely used, when they're restrained, when they're timely, when they're gentle, they can quite literally reawaken Eden in someone else's soul. Your words can be a healing, life-giving balm to others. Words can stir up pain. Words can heal. Just one more that we're going to look at. Proverbs 25:11. A word spoken at the right time is like golden apples in silver settings. Now, this isn't just meant to be like a pretty poetic picture here. The writer is trying to convey an idea of precision, an idea of intentional craftsmanship in this verse. But note this: wise words aren't necessarily big and eloquent. How often have we received healing words from someone where they're simple and quiet and to the point, timely. Words that don't just correct us, but words that cultivate something in us. They carry weight. They shape moments. They cultivate life when spoken at the right time, in the right way, and in the right spirit. That's just a super quick, super small sampling of what Proverbs has to say about words. It has so much more to say about how we use our words wisely and the negative impact words has. And so from those few verses and a couple more that we're going to look at here, what I just want us to do and how I want us to close out this morning is I just want us to draw some insights for how we might be able to use our words more wisely. And here's the first thing. Say less. Say less. Proverbs 10:19 says this. When words abound, transgression is inevitable, but the one who restrains his words is wise. And so this one's simple. The more we talk, the more likely we are to say something unwise. All of us have had experiences where we said too much and put our proverbial feet in our mouths, correct? Yeah. Unfortunately for some of us, we talk for a living. Others of us, we just enjoy talking. We have fun with talking. And others, we just hate silence so much we feel like we have to fill the silence with words. But Proverbs isn't saying that talking or the actual use of words is a negative thing. It's just reminding us this, listen, that the higher the word count, the higher the risk. Every extra sentence adds opportunity to say something we regret. And so sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes the wisest thing that you can say is nothing. It's nothing. Now, this isn't encouraging, like, passive-aggressive behavior. This isn't encouraging us to be avoidant in conflict. It's simply encouraging restraint. Jesus modeled this throughout the Gospels. He never just filled silence to fill silence. So often, he actually asked more questions than he answered. He knew when to talk and when not to talk. And so this week, for instance, if you find yourself in a moment of tension, in conflict, instead of just reactively saying the next thing that you feel compelled to say, take a pause before saying anything at all. Just take a breath, take a beat, 5 seconds, 10 seconds. For most of us, that's going to feel tremendously awkward. But in that moment, just ask yourself, is what I'm about to say going to lead to life, or is it going to lead to death? Is what I'm about to post going to create, or is it going to destroy? If the former, then proceed. But if the latter, again, take a beat, and if you don't know, then just say less. Say less. That's the first insight. Say less. Again, not because words matter, but because words matter a lot. And if we're going to speak, let's speak with care, which actually leads to the second thing. Soften your tone. Soften your tone. We read Proverbs 15:1 and 15:4. A gentle answer turns away anger, but a harsh word stirs up wrath. A healing tongue is a tree of life. These sayings are in part about tone. And there's a reason Proverbs spends so much time on not just the words we say, but the way in which we say our words, the tone that we use. Because all of us have experienced this as well. You can say something true. You can say the right thing and say it in the wrong way and essentially be wrong. Your word will not be received. You can say truth harshly. You can say truth in a sharp or rushed way, and it won't land as truth. It'll probably still hurt. Think about it like this. This might sound a little weird. But tone is like wrapping paper for your words. Just think about it. Our words can have the potential to be like gifts to people. And you might have this incredible gift that you're going to give to someone, but if you wrap it in like wadded up toilet paper and old newspaper, the person receiving it's going to be like, what are you doing? What is this? It's going to change the way the person receives the gift. Your words might be true. They might be insightful. They might be accurate. But if your tone is off, your message might miss as well. And hear this. Gentleness doesn't mean weakness. Like, just because you soften your tone does not mean you are softening the truth. Adjusting tone, imagine it like this, like you're adjusting the temperature in the room. You're trying to make it comfortable for the person so they stay longer, so they can actually receive what you have to say to them. And so if you, again, find yourself having to say something true, having to speak into something, start with something that will soften the situation. Just ask in the midst of the conversation, hey, can we just pause for a minute? Can we just slow this down? Or if there's confusion, before you say what you have to say, would you make sure the other person is understood and just say, help me understand where you're coming from right now? Remind the person, before you share a heavy truth, that you love them, that you are for them, that you have their best interest in mind. These small, simple things can have a big impact. A huge impact for words that we might have to share. So we say less, we soften the tone, but those aren't the only ways wisdom shapes our words, because wisdom doesn't just hold back, it doesn't just have restraint, it doesn't just disarm. Our words are actually meant to be used proactively, to constructively, proactively build up and speak life. And so that's the last thing. Speak life. When we decide and choose to use our words, would we speak life? Again, we're back to where we began. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And all of us have experienced both kinds of speech. We have received words that have actually cut us to our core in the worst way possible. And we have also received words that have seemingly called life and goodness and greatness out of us. Proverbs wants us to learn how to use our words like that, like the latter, like seeds of life and not like swords that are meant to harm other people. Words that are essentially blessing. Truthful, specific, simple blessing. And the key to this week, and this is going to be super obvious, we need to speak these things out loud. We need to be observant and mindful. And when we see, like, listen, we can't keep these things to ourselves. We need to speak them out loud. We need to say the thing. You need to tell your friend that you see the growth in their life. You need to tell your child that you are proud of the patience you see it if and when you finally see it, you know? Tell your coworker you respect their follow-through, because, listen, these small and spoken blessings, when we speak life, they are like nutrients for other people's souls. They give life, they cause growth, they cause people to flourish, and you have that power right now within you. They're needed, they're essential. And so this week, I would call us to, challenge us to try to speak one blessing a day. And it doesn't have to be like verbose. You don't have to like sit down for half an hour and write out a whole blessing. Just when you see something, say something. Like a blessing, speak a blessing. Speak life over someone's life, their actions. Speak life, whether it's a friend, a coworker, a child. It doesn't have to be long. It can be one sentence. Speak life. Say less. Soften your tone. Speak life. It's not complicated, but as we engage in this and try to practice using our words wisely, it might come across costly, because for many of us, for all of us, this is actually like counterintuitive to the way that we just casually use words. instead of using words in this naturally impulsive way or even a thoughtless way, would we care about words the way God cares about words? Would we say less, soften our tone, speak life? And I don't know what your past week was. Maybe you've like received some pretty harsh words this past week, last night, over the past year. Maybe you're still holding words from like the past decade, words that have been spoken to you. Or maybe like you're sitting here today and you're like, there are some words that I regret having spoken recently. And if that's you, here's the good news. None of those words have the final say. None of those words have the final say because God's word says that Jesus is the living word and he still, in this moment, speaks a better word over all of us. He says, you are loved. He says, you are forgiven. He says, you are new. And even now, what he is doing is he is inviting us to become someone who speaks like he does. The living word. The embodiment of wisdom. He invites us to speak words that are spoken at the right time. Words that are spoken in the right way. Words that are spoken in the right spirit. And I just want to say this morning, we can all rest easy. This is not something we are going to be perfect in overnight or perfect in this life. But we are invited to step into this today, to even take those insights we have received from the book of Proverbs, a call to say less, a call to be mindful of our tone, to soften it, and a call to be proactive and thoughtful with our speech, to speak life. And so let me just invite all of you to stand with me and let's just seek him out and ask him for help. Jesus, we see so clearly that words are important. You spoke this world into existence. Your words give us life. Jesus is the living word. And throughout the book of Proverbs, you give us such practical, pragmatic insight on the importance of words and how to use words well. Lord, many of us, we are standing here today, and we are very aware of the way words have pierced us and hurt us, Lord. Lord, I pray that your spirit would bring a balm of healing upon our hearts and souls today, if that's where we're at. Would we know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if we are in Christ, you speak a better word over us? Would we rest in that today? And Lord, your word calls us forward to be mindful of our words, to use our words like precious building blocks, Lord. They can either bring death or bring life. Would we be a people who speak life over others? We pray in your Son's powerful name. Amen.